This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Friday, April 2nd. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, Bluegrass takes next step for two-weekend festival. Telluride School District looks to the future. Voting and healthcare and guns, oh my. And a mountain weather forecast. Planet Bluegrass has jumped its first hurdle for hosting a two-weekend festival in Town Park this summer. Last month, Telluride's Parks and Recreation Commission approved Bluegrass's proposal, which is now headed to the Commission for Community Assistance, Arts, and Special Events. Under the two-weekend scenario, the Telluride Bluegrass Festival would take place June 11th through 13th. Weekend 1, and June 17th through 20th, Weekend 2. There would be a 3,000-person capacity limit per day, and music would run from 3 to 10:30 p.m. or 5 to 10:30 p.m., depending on the day. Planet Bluegrass is still eligible to host its traditional one-weekend festival, June 17th to 20th, but at the Parks and Rec meeting last month, Bluegrass promoter Craig Ferguson alluded the festival is leaning towards the two-weekend option. Planet Bluegrass has until April 15th to make the final decision. If approved, the two-weekend festival would only be eligible for 2021 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. CASE will hold its meeting to discuss the two-weekend option at its meeting on Wednesday, April 7th. The meeting will take place at noon via Zoom. The public is encouraged to attend the meeting and share comments. A COVID school year makes education look different than ever before. From shutting the school buildings in March 2020 to hybrid learning, flexing back and forth between remote and in-person. But Telluride School District Superintendent John Pandolfo is optimistic for the future. Future meaning school in the fall of 2021.
As much as possible, we are hopeful that we will be back to business as usual. I think it is likely, but again, nothing is certain, that we'll be able to run what I'll call normal bus routes. And again, as much as possible, normal athletics and events.
Of course, Pandolfo notes, the district will continue to look at the data and assess the current climate.
Whether we would continue to test students, for example, in the fall, we don't know that that's going to be available or not. But, you know, we'll do whatever we can and whatever we need to again, keep a safe environment, but maximize student learning.
While the fall semester will be here before you know it, there are still 5 weeks left in this school year. Students are heading into spring break, but at a district accountability meeting earlier this week, Pandolfo and the school board discussed what the rest of the year will look like. Recently, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shifted guidelines to allow for 3-foot spacing between students. That will allow the Telluride High School to return to fully in-person learning after spring break. Students will have the opportunity to be fully in-person or fully remote, but there will not be a hybrid option. According to Pandolfo, the district has heard from nearly all families at the intermediate and high school. He says roughly 3% of students at the intermediate school plan to stay remote, while 15% at the high school will remain remote for the remainder of the school year. At the end of the final 5 weeks and the 2020-2021 school year, families and students can also expect what will likely look like a more traditional high school graduation.
If we have outdoor events, we still need to maintain 6-foot distancing, but there's not a capacity. So that's also what we're looking at for 12th grade graduation as it's currently planned. But there's a lot of work to still be done in order to get all that in place.
Moving forward, beyond the pandemic, school will presumably go back to something more recognizable from years past. But for school board member Cheryl Miller, she doesn't want everything to go completely back to what it was.
One of the best practices is to maximize learning. And we always have kids, whether it's elite athletes or parents pull them out for a week or two or whatever. We always have kids that are missing some learning. And so I'd like to take what we've learned and find ways to maximize the learning, taking advantage of the asynchronous or online synchronous, wherever possible, to build back better, not just go back to the old.
Pandolfo says that is to be expected.
There's many things we're just never going to go back to the old on, and I think we are much better prepared to support students who cannot be in every day because of some of the asynchronous supports that we put in place, you know, at all grade levels. The question in the end may become, is that going to best serve students who really make the decision to be 100% remote? And that's something we'll have to address.
Families and students are near the finish line of what will hopefully be the most unusual school year. But what that new normal will look like is still up for debate. Hot button issues are moving through the legislature in Denver. In this installment of Capital Conversation, KOTO's State House reporter Scott Franz talks through voting, healthcare, and guns. Have a listen. Hey, Scott, thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me today.
Hey, my pleasure, Julia.
So the legislature is in full swing, and what feels like a million bills are going through all at the same time. Can you just first paint a little picture of what the Capitol and what the legislature is feeling like right now?
Yeah, well, every day it feels more and more normal in the pace and kind of the issues that we're getting into and some of the familiar political battles. I've started to find it's a little harder to even walk around the building because, the last time I was walking to the House chamber, you know, it felt like there were more of the lobbyists starting to return, you know, whereas during the special session and some other parts of the legislative session that, you know, were taking place when virus case numbers were much worse, it did still feel kind of like a ghost town, and it doesn't anymore.
What I wanted to touch base with you is elections and voting rights. Can you share a little bit? I know there's been a lot of bills introduced in this regard. Where some of those bills are at the moment?
Yeah, well, at the start of the week, there was a renewed effort from some Republican lawmakers to take up some election reforms, including one that proposed for every Colorado voter to have to prove their U.S. citizenship before they could receive a mail-in ballot. Now, this would be a major change from, you know, how elections are conducted now, because, you know, all registered voters are automatically sent in those ballots. You know, Republicans say they're concerned, you know, that they hear from their constituents that they want to make sure, you know, only citizens are voting. Democrats say they share that concern, you know, that they want to keep elections to just U.S. citizens. But where they differ is Democrats don't see the current system having any flaws that is allowing that to happen.
Switching gears to another issue that is always seems to be top of mind in the U.S. as a whole, and that's healthcare. I know that Democratic lawmakers have been hoping and trying to pass legislation that would lower healthcare prices, but that's kind of shifting up a little bit this week. Can you share where that legislation is?
Yeah, so it was originally scheduled this week to have its first hearing, and this is one of the most anticipated bills of the session. You know, I asked Representative Dylan Roberts, he's a Democrat who represents two counties in Colorado that face some of the highest insurance premiums in the country, you know, what's up? Why, you know, the hearing's been delayed twice now. And he tells me it's a positive thing. He says that, you know, the industry, you know, insurance companies and hospitals have kind of indicated more of a willingness to come to the table. And we'll have to see where this goes. You know, this is a very complicated issue that, you know, year after year, because of resistance and opposition from healthcare providers, has been delayed.
When you hear from Roberts that this is a good thing, that it's being pushed back. But then you also mentioned at the beginning seeing more lobbyists around the Capitol. From your perspective, maybe this is speculation a little bit, but do you see that as being true, or do you think that there are some pressures being put on to hold this back a little bit?
Yeah, I'll say it would be fascinating to be, you know, able to be an observer in some of these meetings, because sometimes at the Capitol, it's hard to get a gauge of what's really, you know, happening behind the scenes. You know, there's so many influences at the Capitol, from, you know, the governor's office to the lobbying that goes on to individual lawmakers themselves.
Finally, before we go, Colorado is still in the aftermath of the shooting in Boulder. There's a number of gun regulation bills and conversations happening in Denver. Where are those ones sitting at the minute?
Yeah, so since we talked last week, both of the gun proposals have made significant advancements, and within days, they both are expected to kind of be sent to the governor's desk. As a reminder, one is a proposal to penalize gun owners who fail to secure their firearms when they're not being used at home, and the other would require that gun owners call police within 5 days of noticing their firearm has been lost or stolen. So those are going through. You know, the latest on this whole issue was, you know, complicated a bit by the mass shooting in Boulder, and lawmakers are still, you know, trying to plot how to go forward from that.
Scott, I really appreciate you taking a couple minutes to chat with me about some pretty big issues that are being discussed and contemplated on the state level here in Colorado.
Hey, my pleasure, Julia. Thank you.
That was KOTO's Scott Franz reporting from Denver. A Four Seasons hotel is coming to Mountain Village.
Back in 2015, TMVOA moved to acquire Lot 161CR. That is the property that is a little bit northeast of the gondola transfer station, had been planned and envisioned to be a landmark luxury hotel in Mountain Village for ever since the creation of Mountain Village.
That's Jim Royer, board chair of the Telluride Mountain Village Owners Association. That plan and vision is now coming to fruition. At a TMBOA board meeting on Wednesday, the board approved a purchase-sale agreement for the 2.8-acre lot with Merrimack Ventures.
They have developed the Four Seasons in Fort Lauderdale, along with many other projects. They've done billions of dollars worth of construction, and they would pursue a Four Seasons hotel on the site.
Of course, Royer notes, the development is still at the very beginning stages of planning.
If for some reason a Four Seasons hotel cannot be developed on the site for any variety of reasons, there is a list of alternative brands that Merrimack is allowed to consider in developing on the property. All of the brands are internationally recognized five-star hotels.
In a news release, Merrimack Ventures CEO Dev Motwiani says the company is excited to move forward with the project, adding they have spent years studying the market and truly believe Telluride is the best ski town in North America. There is no estimate date on when the new hotel could open. Spring has sprung, and the off-season is just a weekend away. Off-season, of course, means a number of restaurants around Telluride and Mountain Village are closing, this spring by choice. But some options for food will stick around. Keeping their lights on through the off-season are Brown Dog, Caravan, Coffee Cowboy, Cindy Bread, El Rhino Taco Cafe, High Alpine, High Pie, Shaken Dog, Smugglers, Steamies, Telluride Truffle, the Lawson location, The Liberty, and The View Bar and Grill. Alpinist and the Goat, Baked in Telluride, Butcher and the Baker, Ghost Town, La Cocina, Lunch Money, The Telluride Distillery, The West End Bistro, and Woodier will be closed for several weeks in April. Days and hours of operation may vary, so make sure to check ahead of time. Just because the mountain is officially closing on Sunday, that doesn't mean all the snow will automatically disappear. Uphill access will allow diehards to continue chasing snow well into the spring. With that said, the ski resort will be closed to all access for several days next week. Throughout the off-season, the resort will only be open for non-motorized traffic, and Telski reminds recreators that all avalanche mitigation will stop. Ski Patrol will also be unavailable to respond to any incidents on the mountain. With that said, mountain operations will continue, so skiers and riders should stay alert to snow machine traffic in the area. The mountain will be closed to all access from April 5th through 9th. Prospect Basin will close May 20th to June 30th for elk calving. It can be easy to take water for granted. Drinking, showering, spring planting, it all happens without a second thought when supplies are plentiful. And in the arid West, scientists have a lot of different tools to figure out just how much water will be available every year. They're looking above ground at snowpack and river flow. But they're also taking measurements beneath the surface. From Aspen Public Radio, Alex Hager has more.
I'm walking through a dense thicket of scrubby bushes up in the hills above Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Ahead of me is Elise Osenga, who knows exactly the route to the scientific equipment we're out to find.
So we're looking at about a 2-meter-high little metal tripod with a lot of wires and boxes and equipment attached to it.
Hidden in this patch of tangled branches is a soil moisture monitor. Osenga works for the Aspen Global Change Institute, gathering data from this station and 10 more just like it to get a sense of how much water is being held in the dirt. And knowing that helps figure out how much water will end up in streams and rivers and eventually in the supply that feeds the pipes in your home.
I can't tell you what the rain is going to do, but I can tell you where we're starting out with soil moisture. Snow scientists can tell you where we're starting out with snowpack, and that can help you to realize kind of what's coming ahead.
It's not hard to see how snowpack plays a role in water availability. All that winter snow held up in the mountains, it melts and flows downhill until it's in streams and rivers. But there's a step in between. Some of it has to go through the ground to get there. And dirt can act like a sponge.
If you have dry soils, snow melts in, you're not going to see as much runoff. But if you take a year where maybe you had the exact same snowpack, but you went in with really, really wet soils, those soils can't take up as much water, and so you're going to see a higher runoff from that same amount of snowpack.
That is not the case this year, because soil around the region is parched. So by the time snow starts melting this spring and summer, less of it will make its way to the streams that supply our pipes. That means water managers are stressed about soil moisture, especially in places that don't draw from huge reservoirs and pull straight from creeks. Brian DeMoncos is a hydrologist in charge of the Colorado Snow Survey.
There's not always that storage to keep and reserve water if you're anticipating not getting runoff that you might otherwise expect to have.
DeMoncos oversees a network of monitors across the region. He says data on soil moisture doesn't go back far enough to identify any long-term patterns, but in the last handful of years,
we're seeing that there is a trend of below normal precipitation during the summer and that the soil moisture is getting quite dry, even with normal precipitation or snowpack right now on top of those dry soils, we would have below normal runoff.
That's especially bad news for one group that cares an awful lot about water and dirt, farmers. I'm talking to seed researcher Casey Piscura on a farm right near the banks of the Colorado River.
When you are coming into a season like this one, where we see, you know, really lower than normal snowpack, you know, the amount of water that can be held in the soil is essential to being more efficient with the water that we have when we know that it's going to be limiting.
Keeping soil healthy is a delicate balance. Piscura pays attention to what soil is made out of. That has a bearing on how well it can hold water. And then when it comes time to irrigate plants, he's factoring in how much moisture is already in the soil.
How are we going to maintain that moisture level before the irrigation starts and consider that? So a lot of times we'll actually use tarping over our gardens, and that'll hold the moisture that's there until we're ready to go into crops.
And keeping close tabs on soil moisture will likely get even more important as the years roll on. Piscura and other farmers are cautious of a changing climate, drying out soil, and turning previously fertile land into deserts. Elise Osenga, who runs that monitor near Glenwood Springs, she says farmers were looking at this kind of thing long before scientists ever started keeping track. But now, especially now, the dirt is providing clues that go way beyond farming.
This year in particular, everyone in Colorado is kind of standing with their hair on end thinking, you know, are we going to be in a real serious drought next year?
Data from Osenga's monitors and elsewhere shows that conditions are drier than usual. Snowpack levels throughout the Colorado River Basin are slightly below average. On top of that, low rivers and, you guessed it, dry soil are not helping. Without improvement, that could lead to water shortages and increased risk of wildfire. I'm Alex Hager in Aspen, Colorado.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for mostly clear skies tonight with a low around freezing. Saturday should be sunny during the day and mostly clear at night with a high near 60 degrees and a low in the mid-30s. Sunday, expect sunny skies with a high near 60. Sunday night calls for mostly clear skies with a low around 35 degrees. This has been the news for Friday, April 2nd. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. And now, a personal commentary.
When the going gets tough, the tough get together. And that's just what the cast of the 2021 Telluride AIDS Benefits Student Fashion Show did. And they did it in fine style. Hello, CODO listeners. This is Diva Chisonis wearing my TAB board member hat, inviting you to watch the student fashion show titled The Stories That Make Us, now available on demand. The show was all but canceled for 2021, because how? That challenge didn't stop the all-volunteer high school student directors, choreographers, models, and behind-the-scenes producers, adamant that they would find a way to safely rehearse and perform together to raise funds and awareness. Working with public health officials, they innovated, filming the result in front of rolling cameras so that you could still enjoy their effort, so that you could still support their mission to raise money for an epidemic within a pandemic. Doubling as a fundraiser for TAB's 8 beneficiaries, among them Children's Hospital Immunodeficiency Program, the show also supports 9 free HIV testing locations in small towns like Telluride, Moab, Vail, and Norwood. Because 1 in 7 of us are living with HIV and are unaware. The Stories That Make Us, which premiered on March 25th, is available on demand, but only until April 30th. Watch it over spring break, from the comfort of your couch, or wherever off-season rejuvenation takes you. Visit TellYourRideAIDSBenefit.org for the ticket link to support these student ambassadors, 18 of whom are graduating, ready to go out and make their educated mark in the world. And while I have you, keep your ears and eyes open for the reimagined Runway on the Runway adult fashion shows up at the Telluride Regional Airport the last weekend in June. Same important cause, but with a backdrop like never before. We'll take flight together in the fight against HIV. Thanks for listening, and thank you, KOTO-FM.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at CODO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.